Okay, the third shiur, the Shailavim series. I don't know, general issues of Dam Nida. Dam Nida. So, as in many areas of the Torah, I thought of yet another raya. I don't know if you were here last week or the week before. I thought of another raya that the Isser is the Tumah, that although it doesn't follow the guidelines of Tumah in its dinim, that Sufik Tumah, Bishus Arab, Sufik Tumah, Bishus Ayachid, last week, what I said, but certainly the Isser is being involved with a woman in her Tumah state. Her Tumah is certainly the Sivas Isser. So last week I said another raya, besides what I have said the week before, is that the Isser exists even after she's not a Nida anymore, until she goes to the mikvah. And the status after she's not a Nida anymore is Tumas Nida. She's not a Nida, only Tumas Nida. That's the lumness of a woman after she's the blood stops and she didn't go to the mikvah. Is that the Tumas Nida is there, but she's not a Nida. So today I thought of another raya, is that Yoledes has Tumas Nida, but she's not a Nida. Even a Leda Yavesha, there would be no blood, or if it's cesarean, the blood doesn't even come out the normal way, it's not Matame. So even if there's no Dam, Yoledes is Tame. For a Zohar 7 days, and for an Akeba 14 days. For us, it's really Negeya, but that's called, that's Tumah, so the Isser is there, and all the Isserim are there, and that's Tumah. She's not a Nida. Either way, she's not a Nida at all. She's a Yoledes, a different Shem. She has Tumas Nida. I won't go into Zohar, because to us, anyway, all the Gulbul and every Zohar is a Nida, and every Nida is a Zohar. But certainly, Yoledes. So that also proves the point, because it's the same Isser, because it's a Tumas Nida, and she's certainly not a Chetzav Nida. That's all. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's good, but I'm happy. So it's another raya that the Isser is certainly stems from the Tumah Shabbat. Okay, today we're going to talk about Nida, what makes her Nida, Dam, flow of blood, Kesem, and I don't know, it's much shorter than I thought it would be. If you'll ask me questions, if you don't want to let me leave early, I think. I don't know. So, here there's a few things to be told me with the Araisa. And there's a lot of differences if it's the Araisa or the Rabbanan. Normally, like in Hilchos Shabbos to us, I shouldn't say that because I guess Maisa Shabbos, if it's Peshogeg, there are differences if it's the Araisa or the Rabbanan. But here also, certainly there's differences if it's the Araisa or the Rabbanan, as we'll see. If it's a shayla of mashal, if you could be toile in the dam and something else. Anyway, midiraisa, you need dam, okay, which is not a hafrosh, it's dam. You need a specific color. Midiraisa, there's only four shades of red that are tome. And the shades of red that are not tame. The Gemara talks about them, you know, the Gemara says they have, the Gemara, the Amoraim already bewailed the fact that they lost the ability to determine the difference between Dam Tohar and Dam Tame. They're talking about red. But certainly, if we would, so to us, we ask for all shades of red. But if you put it under a microscope in a laboratory and you did a chemical test and it's dam, that doesn't matter. You need red. That's one of the tenoim of the tumas nidos, that it's red. In fact, with your isa, there's only four shades of red that make a tame. Not my sister, but your isa. Well, yeah, there's only four shades of red. We have lost the ability to tell what those shades are. So we would assume it's the Araisa if it's red. But, okay, so that's a specific color. dam. It has to, it comes from the uterus, and it's not coming from a makah. I'll explain in a second where the dam comes from, and it has to, it goes through the cervix, and she's tameh even before it leaves the body. It's not 100% clear. Usually, there's no difference. So there's a shaila, the cervix is called the tzavar harechem. The cervix connects the uterus with the vagina. So the shaila is where the rechem starts, at which end of the tzavar harechem, at which end of the cervix. Does it start with, at the bottom part, which is the opening to the vagina, or does it start at the top part, which is the opening to the uterus? What's the din of the tzavar harechem? That's a shaila in the Baiskin, but it's not megeya, the complete consensus of the Paiskin. Certainly, okay, I'll explain in a second. Even on the tzad that the cervix is part of the rechem, but certainly dam from the cervix, which is always dam of a wound, because the cervix doesn't have the lining that breaks down, and the dam nida comes from the uterus, comes from the lining of the uterus collapsing and becoming dam. So even if you hold that the tzavar harechem has a din of the makor, the uterus, the gabe other dinim, but even so, dam from the cervix is tahor, it's not tummy. Because that's called dam of a womb, not dam nida, because it doesn't have that fancy word, the lining of the uterus, endo, whatever it's called. The tzavar harechem doesn't have that, so there's no dam nida in the cervix. So it might make a difference if the dam, let's say, is tummy right away, leaves the uterus and goes into the cervix, or it has to go out of the cervix into the vagina. It certainly doesn't have to leave the body for it to be a dam nida. Anybody that learned nida that days of an hour, which is almost as frequently as learning brachas that days of an hour, knows that a dam doesn't have to leave the body. That's the whole business of Beisil and Beishamai. A dam doesn't have to leave the body.
And there could be a mark in the uterus also?
I'm not Masuda, so I might as well answer your questions. Not just theoretically. It's very, very, very hard to determine a maka in the uterus. Because the lining of the uterus, which is dam nida, when the lining collapses every month, if there's no fertilized egg that's embedded in the lining called the endo, whatever, so then it sort of like collapses and it becomes, and it's dam. Now, dam is always a wound in a certain sense of the word wound. You could have a scratch in the uterus and the lining is shalem and it's just a wound. But in my experience, and I spoke to Rabbi Stein or Kornfeld, it's very, very, very hard. It's almost not. If it's coming from the uterus, it's almost impossible to determine that it's like a scratch and it's not the collapse of that lining and to allow it to be tahor. But to answer your question, a wound in the uterus is also not dam nida. It has to be from this lining of the uterus, which collapses every month if there's no vlad, usually. And, okay. So the answer is a maka of the uterus is also not dam nida, but it's very not practical to determine that that's what it is. So you have to go to a doctor because the lining of the uterus is very sensitive, and sometimes any trauma, call it, will cause the lining to collapse, especially if it's close to Vesta. So you may think it's a scratch, but really it caused the lining to collapse. Skena, I don't know, so you need a doctor. Never have a doctor paskin. Okay, it's not Masuda. A doctor should never paskin, even a from doctor. Not even doctor, the great guy, Baruch. Not even Dr. Baruch. He should not paskin. The rabbi should consult with the doctor and paskin. Okay, so getting back to what's a nidam of the Araisa. Dam of a specific color coming from the uterus, going through the cervix, and not from a wound, And there's a hargasha. That's the biggie. Hargasha. Now, again, the uterus is the... Yeah. If a person would have a cesarean and the dam would come out from the side, she wouldn't be in Eden with your eyes. And she wouldn't have tumas yoledes either. Grada, because there's no tumas yoledes there either. But it doesn't... Okay. Now, that's with your eyes. Now, the uterus is the environment of the embryo. That's why it's called an aim. It's called... sometimes the lashon, the name is aim. Sometimes it's called a kever. Because if it doesn't work, it's... That's why there's tumor associated with it. So if the egg is fertilized, it's implanted in the lining and it develops. If not, or if the egg is expelled for some reason, the uterus sheds its lining, and that's the dam, and it goes through the cervix. And there's two openings, we talked about it, and there's a shaila if the cervix is part of the rechem or part of the, if the tzavar harechem is part of the rechem or part of the vagina, so to speak. Now she's tamei, so it's, the big question is that we're going to see that there's a thing called psichas hakever. It's not as common as it used to be because the instruments doctors use when they poke around in there, they use very, very thin instruments. And it's very rarely of a circumference that creates psichas hakever. It's like, that's the metzias. In modern medicine, it's usually very, very thin, the instruments they use. So it's rare that you have, I think the most machmer place can say it would have to be 15 millimeters in diameter to create what's called psichas hakever, and you have to assume that ain't psichas hakever below dam. But having said that, one of the manifestations of the question, if the tzavar harechem has a din of the makor or not, is which opening of the tzavar harechem is called psichas hakever. The inner opening, the upper opening, which is the opening to the rechem, or the bottom opening, which is the opening to the vagina. So which is called psichas hakever. And that's mamash machlokes hapoyim, that's the bottom line. It's also a naskamina, which is very rarely nogea of when she actually becomes tamei, when it goes from the makor to the cervix, or from the cervix outside the cervix. The third naskamina is... it's very rarely a nafkamina. And the third nafkamina is also not negeya, because everybody's minded that a wound in the cervix is a wound. There's no damnida in the cervix. So the main difference is really where's the psichas hakever. That's the main manifestation of the suffix, is which psichas hakever would you say causes, it's a trauma, and it causes dam to be shed. Okay. Okay, now, so you need a specific shade of red, any shade of red. Now we're, and then there's, Berkowitz was very, very kind to me, and I found favor in his eyes. I was an Eish HaTorah, and I got this job in a shul somewhere, and I said, so he sat with me. It's amazing. Berkowitz is the busiest person in the world. He sat with me twice a week for half hour, and he taught me Maris, private, one-on-one. It's like I can think back now. And there's different Kabbalahs, he learned by a Fisher, tremendously Makil. Everybody knows the joke by now. I told the joke a couple of times. Well, our Fisher, from Zichron Moshe, he has since been nifter. The guy's driving him in a car, and he says, "Why aren't you driving?" "The light's red, I can't go." He goes, "That's fine." That's the joke they say. So he's very Makil, and I learned by Berkowitz, and it's really Makil. It's like it has to do with the... I never realized it until I learned Maris. Gold, brown, red. It's like the same spectrum. I learned the, I bought these paintings. That's what I learned on. Like, you have these things, like, when you buy paint. Yeah, and that's, I practiced on that. And I, like, for a few weeks, I would go around and I'd say, I was like seeing red everywhere. I would look at this table and say, oh, that's an interesting color. It's brownish red, but it's really a, pretty red. So, anyway, I think everyone knows by now, whoever uses me, that I'm a maker. There's different service. It was, I think they attacked a Berkowitz once. It was a whole book written attacking him, attacking this Masoris. And they tried to trap him, and they showed him Maris. I don't know exactly what happened. But Berkowitz says, no, there was a whole thing, of course. But it's a Masoris. Again, remember, the Oraisa red is not necessarily done either. It's specific shades of red. So it's not as, you know, so once it's not red, the difference is orange. When it's orange or red-brown or coffee color, the chocolate milk covered, like, and you have to, you know, there's Masoris, you know, when you have to, what it is. And sometimes it's hard to see, and a deep cloth is talking about a dot. I don't understand. The truth is, the Rish Koyl here wrote a sefer called Tok Hazi. I didn't look at it, but like, I don't see how you write a sefer about Maris, but okay, he did. Two volumes here.
I wanted to understand.
Tok Hazi, by the way, is Yerushalmi Lashon. I always found it fascinating. Babli says Toshma, and Yerushalmi says Tok Hazi. Yeah.
What's the answer to the question? If I have an Amo Aretz who has a great eye, could you teach him the art of Maris?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, you could teach him that. It's a skill of the tech. If you teach him Tohor Tomei, well, what's the difference of Amo Aretz? This shade is Tohor, this shade is Tomei.
So it's
technically
a woman.
So the women ask me, if I see that color again, can I assume it's Tahor? I say no, because you need a trained eye, and to you it's the same as that one, and it's really not the same.
But you can take some woman who, and
train her. Yeah, I don't see the point. Yeah, why?
So I was just.
Don't listen to Nishmat, which is a wonderful. You know, I looked at them many times, and they're very careful to stick to halacha, not to get too modern, but the whole premise is evil. The whole premise that a woman is ashamed to go to a rav, and she needs another woman to go to. For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years, women went to rabbonim, and it was okay. So I don't. The whole premise I hold is false.
But it's true, but it could work.
It's calumny. Yeah, and again, even in Psak Halacha, they happen. They're good. I'll tell you the truth. I look there to see. You know, I want to catch them. You know? And they're good. They're very careful to be very conservative, if you know what I mean. But the whole premise is not kosher.
People went crazy. It's not a good. The people just went crazy. The question is say people are nuts today. So because they're not nuts,
it's a modern feminist agenda.
It's a modern nuts.
It's not nuts, it's an agenda. You can't go to a meeting, a man doesn't understand. And it was never like that, and it's still not like that. So, okay, enough said. But rather, they're okay. They're Yoatzot Halacha, whatever they're called. It's run by Henkin, no? By Henkin. He's much worse. His wife's more careful than he is. No. So the Rav has to. You have to look at it. You're supposed to look at it. If you hear me say, if I tell you, I'll wait till the morning. Because you're really supposed to look at it in indirect sunlight. An incandescent bulb is probably the worst. This is not a woman too, because a lot of times a woman looks at it and decides if it's a shiloh or not. There are women, if they see anything, you know, I spend like 2 minutes trying to figure out what the shiloh is. And although lately I hear that I'm accused of making fun of people that ask shaylos, but I have never, ever, ever done that. I always take every shaylos seriously, even if there's nothing on the b'dikah clock. Sometimes I have trouble seeing what they're seeing. Sometimes they'll even ask me a white. They'll ask me like it's a white upfront. They don't want to trust themselves. When I first got married, I didn't trust anybody in Muncie. I used to go to the Dayan in New Square to ask them shaylos. And like a 10-minute drive, 15-minute drive. But every shaylos I brought to him, even the slightest shaylos. You don't know anything, you don't trust yourself. But many times women will ask me if it's the same color, can I assume it's better? I say no. First of all, it's not the same color, and you're not trained. And second of all, there could be a dot in a b'dikah cloth. You're not talking about a kesem. When you talk about a b'dikah cloth, there could be a dot in the corner, and you don't chab. You think it's the same color, but there's a dot, and that dot is red, but you don't notice the dot. You need training. You need training.
What can they?
What?
Can they say? Assuming that
when they look at it, look, you can tell them a white hafrosh is okay. Once you start saying pink is okay, it starts getting a little dangerous because pink is okay. But, you know, again, I now know that pink, brown, gold, it's headed towards red. And you look at that painting and you might see it, whoosh, that it turns into red as you go. It's like a spectrum of color. I have a lamp that the Dovitz got for me that supposedly it creates the light like sunlight. So I use it when it's the seventh night and they come, it's called an emergency. And I don't trust even fluorescent light, which is supposed to be okay. Incandescent is the worst. But fluorescent is okay. But this lamp supposedly is like this sunlight. So that's what I use if I have to look at a mirror at night. What?
Now there are LEDs, not fluorescent
light. I don't know about LEDs. I kind of don't know. I'm not a bookie of these things. I ask others. I would like to ask Rabbi Berkowitz next time I see him about LED lights. I don't know. I don't know. Look, sometimes it's really not a shiloh. And even an incandescent light can tell you it's not a shiloh. Usually it's the brown family, the reddish brown, or the cream colored, chocolate milk colored, we call it coffee colored. That needs a psak. Colors fade. I mean, I've had people bring me a lot of b'dikah cloths on day 7, and it's like saved up from all 7 days. I try to tell people, you're really not, it's not good to wait more than a day or two. Please. I tell people, please don't worry. But the mice of the rub has to deal with it, but realize that colors fade. Okay.
Is there ever a point where the Rav says this is, this faded too long and now I can't possibly myself a Gerasa?
Yes, and even more so, I say this color fades and it was Tomei. I know it was Tomei when it came out. That's very rare. That's very rare. You have to be really borer for that. Because the din is really to go with what you see now. But there are certain shades that I'm used to already that I know fade, and if it's 3 days, I know it was much more reddish when it came out of the body. So then you could say that. So again, I know. Okay. That's not going to happen by a b'dikah cloth. It usually happens by a kesem. Okay. Now, women have afrashas and there's all kinds of colors. And they should really, sometimes it's indication of a medical issue. Sometimes. Like, for instance, brown is, like really brown is an indication of dehydration. And some colors are simonim of an infection. And pink is like a yeast infection. So there's different things that a woman has to know about just for, for medical purposes. She has to maybe be in touch with a doctor if something's going on. Okay. So wounds, we say, is okay if it's a wound. And, I send people to Rosenbaum. A lot of times, I don't know, maybe it's what they eat, or maybe it's too much exercise, or too little exercise, I don't know what it is, but women's skin has become, I mean, I'm amazed at, you know, you could have a bedika, or a kesem, and Allison will say it's clearly a wound in the cervix, usually in the cervix, or sometimes in the vagina, it's like wound and it's motzi dam, and she writes, you send them to a, it's called a bodeket, and she examines you, and she writes a report, and she either calls me up, or she faxes or scans me a report, she has a form she fills out, if it's, I have a good working relationship with her already, so we have our lashonis that she knows already I like, if it's possible, or likely, or probable, you know, like different, because at different times, different types of maris, different bedikas, different types of maris, it will make a difference if it's possible, or probable, or likely, or almost certainly, because of the spectrum of things. And she has a form she fills out, if it's motzi dam, with a light touch, with a heavy touch, if it's not motzi dam. I mean, I've been amazed at times at first of all, I'm amazed at the prevalence of pitzayim, it's called a petza. I don't know what it is, it's what they eat, I don't know, maybe they exercise too much or too little. Why am I put on this pitzayim? So many pitzayim, it's so common. Like, I'm amazed. Like, a woman will be very frustrated. She can't get tar. I'll send her to Rosenbaum. Mrs. Rosenbaum. There's other women, too. I like working with her. And she'll say it's a petzot. Okay. We talked about Psichos HaKever. You have to find out if someone's having a procedure done, so they'll... The information they have to know, first of all, they have to know if an instrument is used. If no instrument is used, it's almost 100% that there was no psichos ever. Like if you just stuck his finger in or whatever. They don't go that deep. And if there's blood, the doctor has to tell you from where the blood is. You can't have the doctor paskin, it's not amida, even if it's from. He has to say where it's from, and he has to tell you the name of the procedure. And now Rabbanim have lists of procedures and lists of tools and how wide the tools are, and they determine if they'll see if they have it. And the bottom line about the cervix is really a machlokas. There's makilim and machmirim. If there was a psichas hakever, so to speak, at the bottom opening of the cervix, it didn't go into the top opening of the cervix, which is very, very painful. And that's really, I mean, almost, in my experience, it almost never goes into the uterus. It's like very painful. Okay, and also the instruments now are unbelievably thin like a straw, and it's like there's no psichos kever there. Okay, so damnita mediraisa is even a minute amount of dam, and a kesem by definition. The assumption is nowadays, I don't know why, this is three types of hargosha, right, that the place can talk about. One is a type of trembling, that's how it's described, zazeya, then there's a feeling of the uterus opening, which apparently women used to feel the uterus opening. And then there's Ziva's Dung. So one thing is clear, that feeling wetness is not the Hargosha. Once it comes out, you feel wet, that's not a Hargosha. You still want to check what's going on. You want to look what's going on. But that's not the Hargosha which would render the Damnida Damnida Arisa. The big question is, of course, the big question is, and we're Mekel. I mean, from my experience, Rabbanim are Mekel. Most poskim are Mekel. In that, if you know it's coming from the uterus, but there's no hargosha, and it's less than a gris. That's the big question. Because the ostensible reason for a gris on a kesem is a tliya and a kina. Right? A tliya and a kina. They used to have apparently very large kina. What Rav David Dovitz told me to use to measure the gris is the old Asimon coins. He says that's what they have with Kabbalah. That's the gris, the old Asimon coins. Okay, so I have my Asimon coins. I got.
It's like a nickel?
No, it's less. It's bigger than a shekel, I think, but it's not a penny. It's smaller than a penny.
It's like a dime.
A little bigger than a dime, I think. It's an Asimon coin. That's what it is. And that's huge, cleaning. Like, I don't know, man. I guess they didn't bathe that often, so they have big kinas. But the big, so the question is the Hargosha Be'etzem, Simen or Siba, call it whatever lumpus you want. The big question in the most place come on make you, because of light plug. Because you know it's coming from her body, but there's no Hargosha, so it has to be a gris. Right, because that's the abundant has to be a gris, but there's no, you know it's coming from her body. That's the question. We're certainly, the bottom line is we're certainly makel if there's no hargosha if it's uncolored, and we're certainly makel on something that's not makabel tumah. Even the machmirim are only machmir in the less than a gris question, because that is because of a tliya and kina. And here you know it's coming from the body. So how far do you extend the low flood? But the very fact that there's no hargosha, and you could, and therefore it's the rabbanon, and you could be makil and a dover she'ena makabel tumah, or on colored clothing, that is pretty much muskim by all. If there's a lot of machmirim, or a number of machmirim, and even there we're makil, like that there's a light flood and it has to be a grist. The shaila is like this: women wear colors. Theoretically, if they don't feel a hargosha, so could they wear color their whole lives and never become a nidah? You know, that's the question, right? Could they theoretically never become a nidah because they're wearing colored and there's no hargosha? So some place can say anachanami. That's life. And the place can I follow, and I think it's most place can. They give a number, like if it's around 6-7 grisim large, she's having a dam flow, and like she's talking, she's an eva. I mean, they can't get away from the fact that drabonim, but they tell you the place you might follow. And I don't know of any rav lemaisa that conducts himself with such a kula that theoretically, you know. Because anyway, it takes off the clothing, she sees it's red, it's. They say that the women say there's no hargosha. If they have hargosha, then the chalami is the arisa. The hargosha that is most likely, which not all poskim hold as hargosha, is just that you feel an internal flow, and usually in the vagina. You don't feel it flow out. The what the poskim talk about, the opening of the uterus and the dam flowing out, like. It's come out, not nikkur nowadays, what in the world that is. The women don't feel that. So here's the point. Why is a bedikah even a minute amount? So there's three scenarios. This is what's weird. That even though the women talk about they never have argosha, they don't have argosha. I mean, I'll ask a woman sometimes if she felt anything because it's nogeya, because if she sees a kesem and it's not a gris. So you have to know, you have to make sure there was no hargosha. Because if there was a hargosha, then it's the arisa and you don't need a gris. So dam need the woman becomes a nida even in a minute amount of dam. It's rather more chomer than all other metamim. A mace needs a kazayas, a sheriff needs a kadasha, you know, an avela needs a kazayas. You always need a shear for tumor. Nida is rather even the most minute amount makes a woman a nida. So the saving grace, if you want to call it that, is that you need a hargosha. There's no hargosha. So that's when it becomes the drabanon, and that's when they said it has to be a gris. So what's interesting is that the way the halacha turns out, there's three scenarios in which we're choishish for a hargasha, and she didn't feel it because it was masked by something else. So one is the bedika. She made a bedika and she found a minute amount of dam on the bedika cloth. So why don't you say you only need a gris? Because we say there was a hargasha b'shas the bedika, and the reason she didn't feel it is because of the mishmash bedika. So that's why we ask her a bedika, even if it's a dat. But a bedika makes her tell me even a dat. That's bedika's case one. Case two is tashmish. And if there's dam, and you have to deal with it, and raya dam machlas tashmish, sometimes you have to... It's a problem that has to be dealt with. I don't even know if the Kala teachers teach the Kalas anymore. I don't know. In my days, they did. To make bezikas following, they did. Yeah. I have this feeling that they, because it could to make three bezikas that she to make a becheskas not royal damach was tashmish, but it could stretch over years. She gets pregnant, like you have to keep cheshbon three times. It could take 5 years to have your three times. So I don't know, but anyway. Tashmish is another case where even a minute amount, because it's masked by the tashmish, so that's why we're afraid maybe there was a hargasha. A minute amount of dam
on the bed.
By time, yeah, or on his aver. And the biggie is Meir Glein. Because no matter how many times you tell a woman not to look, she would always look, right? And she sees dam on the toilet paper. Sometimes in the bowl, sometimes on the bowl. So there's different dinim. I'm not going to go through all of them now. But the main thing is, so if she wipes and there's dam on the tissue paper, so some say tissue paper is not mekabel tumah, but the shalos of it has the din of a keser. So you first, it's one of the three things where you chayish for hargasha. So you can't assign it a din of a keser so quickly. So although they should use colored toilet paper, taka, and they shouldn't look, yeah, and it's not even mekabel tumah, but it's not so positive that it has a din of a keser, because the urination also masks the hargasha. So here Rav Moshe has a huge kula that, to my knowledge, I mean, I follow it, and pretty much everybody follows. Everybody, all the Rabbanim I talk to follow this kula. It says that they wipe, and it's right immediately after Merig Lion. Right? Because if a certain amount of time, a few seconds even, passed from the urination, so then it's already a regular kesser, because she didn't feel the hargasha. So when are we afraid that it was masked by the Merag Lion? When she wiped right away afterwards. So the dam is there from Bishas, the urination, and she didn't feel it. So Ramesha says that in any normal circumstances, you should have... It's not called Miyad. It's only going to be called Miyad if there's still tipos of Merag Lion there. And the woman runs and wipes because the phone's ringing, or the challah is burning in the oven, or the pot's cooking over. That's what he writes in the Tshuva. So a woman, so that's when you have to be afraid, and even a minute amount of dam, and even on colored toilet paper, is a problem. But any normal scenario where she was, and as I ask women, were you in a particular rush? Was the phone ringing? It is normal, you know. If it's normal, then Moshe says you can assume it has a din of a kesem, and if it's on colored toilet paper, it's going to be okay, and it has to be a gris, and maybe it's not even mekabel tumah. That's not so clear if toilet paper is mekabel tumah. It could depend on the thickness of the toilet paper. If you're using tissues, or if it's thin toilet paper, thick toilet paper, well, there's a place to talk about these things. But, okay.
Theoretically, if a healthy woman is not used to it, would there be a scenario where she can go through her whole life, she can start these things together, and she's not mapping the Taras Mishpacha, but she's not high Karis.
And she's not?
She's not mapping the Taras Mishpacha, but maybe she actually never did Karis. Did this or Karis by being
balls. There's no Hargosha.
Theoretically.
It's not even theoretically. There's no Hargosha. I mean, well, why don't we just let Hashem worry about Karis? No, we don't give Karis anyway. It's like, what do you want to know? If you should give her an aliyah? Like, well,
if she comes tomorrow, she's chayav korban.
It's called you're not giving Karis in the shop. I don't know. I let Hashem worry about these things. Like, whether you want to have a philosophical discussion. You can go through your whole life and be Mechal Shabbos and never be over the Araisa. You know, you'll either do Mlacha Shedetricha Lagufa, if it's not like the Rambam, or you'll do it with a little Shinui. I mean, if you want to be a wise guy, you know, you can be a wise guy. You know? Yiddish guy has big makom to allow for wise guyness. Because it's a legal system. And like every legal system, you know, it has to be kedera, and it has to be this, and it has to be that. I thought you can go through your whole life and wear colored clothing, and not all the place give hold of this business that if there's 7-8 grisim, then she's tamei. Some place can hold, no, you know, there's no hard glass, and she's wearing colored, you know. She's not an either, you know.
So when she's making a bracha in the mikvah, women in general, they're making bracha getting rid of the status of their abundance.
Yeah, that's not an issue. The issue is, you know, a woman sees down, you know, she's an either. It might be there, again, without her gosha, it might be there abundant, but that's called a riyah, it's not called a kesem. Rabbi Gosha holds this three things, this riyah, midiraisa, and this kesem, but there's something called a riyah midirabona. It's really extremely logical. That it's Rabbanon, but it doesn't have a din kesem. It has a din riyah. It's a full blood. She has a period. You know, it's just the Araisa. It's a technicality. So he holds it like a riyah, the Rabbanon, and then a kesem. There's three madrigas, really. Okay? I don't know if the women, if she feels even the some sort of hargosha, you have to do a bedika. I think the women know that. I think they make a bedika. Women are much more. The women that I come into contact with, the women in shul, I guess I could say, are very adamant. Machmir is like OCD type. Like they're always nervous that their tummy. They're very. Very nervous at that time. Maybe we'll talk about it. I just bought a book in Amazon. It's about OCD and preparing for the mikvah. It's a very, that's a whole parsha. Yeah. Preparing for the mikvah and how to get an OCD woman. I mean, I deal with it a lot.
A clinical OCD, a real.
Yeah, a clinical OCD and preparing for the mikvah. And it teaches the Rav sort of how to deal with her and how to train her to break free of the OCD-ness, but it's only in preparing for the mikvah. But the women, like, now I'm talking about to look and to check. But you do you want b'chuyav to make a bedika with any type of hargosha. And the post can recommend making a bedika even in the feeling damp on the outside, which is really not a hargosha at all, but they recommend making a bedika. The question is if you have a real hargosha and you make a bedika and you don't find anything, not a hafrosha tahora, but you don't find anything, then that's a problem. You might be tummy anyway. But for that you need the real hargosha that everybody's molded to, that the women say they really don't have. That's the opening of the uterus and the feeling of the blood coming out of the uterus. But the internal flow, like in the tzav harechem or in the vagina, they feel a flow, which sometimes they do feel. So there you have to make a bedika, and then the Rav has to decide what to do. If they made a bedika and there was no hafrosha tahora, that's already a blessing. But if they don't find anything, then it's a problem. And then the Rav has to pass it.
Different kinds of argoshas in terms of level.
Yeah.
One is called
the level. The level has to do with if everybody's molded to it. There's an oyd to be hudas argosha, the samsaifas argosha, and so the argosha that's the least common and the most muskam is the opening of the uterus and feeling blood flowing out. The trembling has less shittas, and the internal hargasha of a flow, internal, a discharge. They feel like a flow, like in the either in the tzavach harechem or in the vagina. So then, I'm sorry, all that's b'chal not a hargasha, but many hold it is. So that's where the problem would arise, because she's b'chayit to make a medika, and if she finds nothing, then the rav really has to decide what to do. But in my experience, the place will not make it, because not everybody even holds it's a hargasha to begin with. So they make it in that type of hargasha if she finds nothing. Okay. I think so. It's a kli. It has a specific tashrish. It's a specific size. They make it for a specific purpose. Even though Oshko still hasn't figured out how to define the word kli in English. We're not sure how to... we're doing kelim now in the English Mishnah somewhere. Vessel, or sometimes we just write... Let's just write kli and be done with it. K-L-I, you know. Utensil, vessel. But certainly something that's a specific size and it's made out of a specific material. Oh, I don't allow, so to speak, I mean, what am I going to do? But the undershirt material for particular cloths. The women, you know, it's rough. You know, so that's the softest. But it doesn't hold color. It doesn't hold color. It's a very, very loose weave. But now there's one with a bedatz hecher. I forgot the name. I have it in my drawer. That's very, very soft, but it's not a loose weave. I don't know how they do it, but that's good. But a lot of women, I told them to stop using what I call undershirt material. I'm sure it has a name. Because it's a very, very loose weave. It doesn't hold the color. So you can't really tell what the color is. But it's the softest, so they like to use it. But I don't allow that. But just, so there's other soft ones that are not so, that are not, there are rough ones that they shouldn't use, but then there's soft ones. But then now they have a very, very soft one that's good. So I recommend that. I have it in my drawer. I forget the name. It's sitting in my drawer in the office. Okay, any questions? That's it.
On the last one, when do the bedikas cause bleeding?
Because it makes a wound. It's very rough. I mean, the rav has to be experienced and know when to send to the bodeka to suspect. I just had a case. I'm not going to give any possible identifying details, but I just had a case that I said, listen, it doesn't look like it to me, but I'm not a bucky. I'm not a guy. Berkowitz is a bucky. That's called a bucky. I said, I'm not really a bucky. So go to Allison, because it was very frustrating. And she went, and it was Taka Pesayim. I was surprised, because of the placement of the dam on the Zika cloth. It was spread out. It didn't make sense to me that there was like, so many Pesayim, like here, here, there, there. But then she went, and it was Taka Allison called me up and said, the Rav also has to determine how many. Okay, we didn't get up to Bedikas during the Shivanakiyam. That's always an Asik. If it's Petsoyim and, you know, what's the minimum amount of. A lot of men, like their Rav in Baltimore 25 years ago told them they only have to make two Bedikas on the first day and the seventh day. I now, it's 25 years later. And I don't start up with the Rav. Not Dr. Baltimore. Their bodies change. What might have been true when they first got married is not true anymore. But I don't start up with that. No. I'd rather... we'll learn about those things. That's, okay. Yeah. Okay.
When does a long time. Yeah. When does have to make medikas that are not?
If you leave something in the box, tell your wife to call me up. I don't check it like always. I mean, I try to, but I forget sometimes.
When does a woman have to make medikas that are not within the?
If she feels a hargosha or any type of hargosha, she has to make a medika. And then you're not talking about yerma vest that she's going to keep. If she feels a hargosha. Any type of hargasha. The problem. I'm very not masuda. I'm very unhappy with my shiur. I'm not masuda. Today was only, if today was good, it was only because I have experience. I know what I'm talking about. I didn't have to be masuda with it.